could be. Who knows? There's something due any day. I will know right away, soon as it shows. It'd make 'em cannonballing down through the sky, gleaming its eye, bright as a rose. Who knows? It's only just out of reach, down the block on a beach, under a tree. I got a feeling there's a miracle due, gonna come true, coming to me.
Hi, my name is Dr. Iris Rosenfeld, doctor of chiropractic in Laguna Hills, California, for over 29 years, and owner of Rosenfeld Wellness Center. I'd like to welcome you all this week to my radio show, Attitude Adjustment, where I interview inspiring and motivational guests on the second and fourth Tuesday of every month, 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We stretch your limits as to what is possible. Each week, we tackle an issue and share how to create a healthier lifestyle, live without pain, and embrace small nutritional and wellness changes that make a big difference. This week, I'm very proud to have two very popular, wonderful doctors in our community on with me, Dr. Barbara Grossman and Dr. Michael Grossman. Are you there?
Yes, we are. Hi.
We are here.
Well, I'm so happy to have you here today. And if it is okay, I would love to give our listeners a little background information on both of you and who you are and what you're about.
Sure.
So, mythologist Joseph Campbell suggests that marriage is not a love affair, it's an ordeal. And I've never heard that before. If you successfully navigate the ordeal, you will transform your experience of life, love, and God. Dr. Michael and Dr. Barbara Grossman are committed to guiding you through the ordeal of marriage into an intimate, romantic partnership filled with passion, filled with joy, filled with enthusiasm, mutual opportunities, while dissolving old hurts, resentments, emotional disturbance, and power struggles. After 20 years of them leading marriage classes for hundreds of couples, the Grossmans have a track record of successfully helping couples navigate the marriage journey. They have a book that is soon to be released called Marriage as a Hero's Journey. And that book brings practical skills, inspiring personal stories, and a vision of life transformation through marriage. And I'm looking very forward to hearing about that. Dr. Barbara received her PhD as a pastoral counselor training at Claremont School of Theology. She is committed to teaching skills to move couples from emotional distance and power struggle to feeling understood, appreciated, and respected, using a developmental model to mature individuals and create emotional richness in romantic relationships. Dr. Barbara's passion is teaching maturation and interpersonal skills, which is the key to success in the marriage journey. Dr. Barbara is a master at seeing couples and knowing what the next steps are needed for their successful journey through life. She uses her intuition from 30 years and 50,000 hours of counseling. Dr. Michael Grossman has been a medical practitioner and teacher of meditation and attitudinal healing. His passion is using the natural motivation for romantic partnership to move us to a higher stage of inner development. Dr. Michael works as an anti-aging physician, teaching others what balances are needed to create health and longevity. Over the last 15 years, Dr. Michael and Dr. Barbara have conducted marriage enrichment classes all over the community, churches, synagogues, service organizations in Southern California. 4 2-hour weekly classes are available in their Southern California office. Online classes are also available, and their book will soon be released online. Individual or couple sessions are available online as well in their Irvine office. So with that amazing biography on both of you, I would love to start asking you questions on basically what do you see are the difficulties in modern marriage today?
Iris, great question, and thank you for inviting us to be on your show. We believe that marriage in our time is meant to fulfill not only our heart but our soul. And in previous generations, marriage was more of a functional matter of practicalities, of raising families and providing for security. So with an emotional and spiritual requirements of modern marriage, marriage becomes an opportunity, our second and last opportunity, to really grow up and mature emotionally. And so in marriage, we meet all of our unfinished business in life, all of the things that we, all the ways in which we failed to mature as children in our homes growing up. And so what we do in our couple life is we come up against our limitations. We come up our limitations in empathy, our limitations in understanding, our inability to know ourselves and articulate what we want and need. There's just so many things we need to learn, and we discover what we need and what we need to learn in our marriages. And if we don't have the right attitude about how this is a journey of development, self-development and development of a partnership, we don't understand the opportunity and the possibilities of married life. And with this shift, our marriages today are not like the marriages of our grandparents. And for many of us, it's not like the marriages of our parents. So we have a new journey to define and to walk through. And it's rather beautiful because it fulfills the potential of our personalities, and it fulfills the potential of our society's needs for two adults working together in joy and pleasure and in concert with each other to raise children and contribute to community. It's a fabulous plan.
And Barbara, that sounds great. However, you mentioned something about modern marriage is different today than it was in our parents' generation or our grandparents' generation. Could you explain that a little bit more?
Well, I don't know that our parents or our grandparents had the same level of expectations that we have. When our expectations do not fulfill themselves, we are often resentful. We're often angry. We often look elsewhere to meet our fantasies. We have television and we have internet. We have all kinds of possibilities for imagining where our dreams can come true. And so we often don't focus on the internal skills and the internal development that we need to manifest what we want in our marriages. What we're asking from our partners and what we're asking of ourselves is so much more in terms of emotional sharing and connection and partnering together in multiple levels of activities.
One thing I could add, this is Dr. Michael, is that the time in which women started working was only World War II. Prior to World War II, women were home taking care of the family. That was their role, and women, by and large, accepted that role. There were exceptions, but that was the exception. Nowadays, roles are very unclear. Everybody's working. Everybody has equal responsibilities to earn a living. And the definement of roles is no longer clear in marriage. And that creates a whole huge realm of upsets and power struggle.
That is a very interesting point you made about the roles not being clear, and you just mentioned power struggle. And I hear that term very frequently in marriage. So I'd love for you to discuss how is marriage, how does it become that power struggle?
Well, what goes along with women developing and getting jobs and finding new self-esteem is that there are usually two egos under the same roof, where perhaps in former generations there was one ego under the same roof. And so with two developing personalities, there's two individuals who feel right and righteous, and that's a recipe for power struggle. And so you know, at that point, we need to learn new skills to share and communicate and learn how to work with each other and understand each other. And it's a completely different ballgame.
So how did each of you help couples to get through this power struggle?
Well, one of the things that's very important is for each couple has to look at what part of the life cycle they're growing through. So for women, what happens to women frequently who are involved with having children, they're very involved with the children and trying to make that work, and are also working, trying to make that work, and they're very busy doing things. And they usually will, for a period of time, be very cooperative with that whole program. And then at a certain point, their development changes.
We usually say in the 30s.
Right. Mm. And so sometime in a woman's life when she's after she's had her kids and she's working and being a mother at the same time, she begins to feel her own voice comes from within her that she needs to have her needs. She needs to have her self-expression. And this is a developmental change. This is not just a psychological change. It's actually a change in your whole way of viewing the world. And it's different from men. In general, men go through this change earlier than women. So when men are working, they tend to focus on their own needs and development and their own creativity, and they have that as their focus. And they'll go to that place earlier than most women, unless the woman is also a career woman and has her children much later. So like, for instance, in my situation, when Barbara and I got married, we were 21 and 22, and
which is young by today's standards.
That is very young in general, I think, yes.
Well, by today's standards.
Mm-hmm. I mean, two or three generations ago, it was common to get married at 16 or 18.
That's true.
So now it's more like 26 and 28.
Mm-hmm. So depending upon when couples get married, in Barbara and I situation, I was a medical student, became a medical doctor. I was focused on my career and my own goals, and I had to think for myself to create my life and the business and my career. Whereas Barbara was home with the kids. Yes, she was in school and with the kids. But we had a comfortable first marriage for about 10 years in which everything was around my needs, my doctor needs, my career needs. We moved when I said we had to move for this reason or that reason. And Barbara was there with the kids, was working a little bit, but basically was with the kids. And at a certain point, our marriage became very uncomfortable because Barbara went back to graduate school. She's 35 or so, and she's going back to graduate school, and she learns to think for herself as a counselor. And that was very uncomfortable for both Barbara and I because the whole structure of the relationship changes. It's no mm-hmm. longer around me and my needs. And Barbara had her own voice. And so we went through some 4 or 5 years, where it was very uncomfortable. And then we go into a different phase where we learn to make this kind of relationship work, which was a lot of growth. It wasn't like a simple, quick transition. And many couples will go through these kinds of transitions through their marriage.
So I have heard a comment from both of you, and you said that you have had three marriages with each other. Could you explain that?
Well, the first marriage, everything that I needed was the reason we decided things. That was the first marriage. I'm the doctor. I'm the breadwinner. We do whatever meets my needs because I'm in charge. Second marriage, there are two people vying for having their point of view be the point of view that dominates. And the third marriage is coming to a cooperative kind of a situation, a partnership that works for each of us. And that takes learning, for the man has to learn his feelings, his to be in touch with his feelings and his emotions and being able to express them, to express his point of view. And for the woman, has to learn to speak from her inner voice to to express her needs and her desires in a way where the man can really hear it without her yelling, without her being angry. So these are skills that one has to develop through each of these different phases of married life. So one of the things we talk about some myths which represent these stages of growth for the man and the woman, because they don't grow equally, generally speaking. The man has certain things he has to learn from his own life experience and his brain structure, and the woman has other things that she has to learn.
Right. So what we're describing, while we're telling our own personal story, we say this story is not personal to us, that developmentally men and women are on collision courses in their development, that men usually learn competence first, and then they have to develop compassion. Compassion so they can be caring and sensitive and nurturing in their relationship. Women are usually connection-oriented, and later on they develop self-assertion and self-esteem, and they integrate their empathy with self-assertion. So you get two different adult pathways to development. And those pathways of growth create predictable patterns of discomfort in a relationship. And if they're not understood, couples can feel the turbulence and misinterpret that as this relationship doesn't work, this marriage isn't right, we should separate, we should divorce, instead of understanding the developmental issues that are going on.
You guys have so much great information, but we have to take a very short break, and we will be right back.
Glad you are able to be with us today. We are taking a short break. If you would like to ask our guests a question during the next segment of our show, please contact innerlightradio@yahoo.com or call 310-928-7733. As a doctor of chiropractic in Laguna Hills, California for over 27 years and owner of Rosenfeld Wellness Center, my staff and I are compassionate health experts. Through our integrative approach, we create miraculous breakthroughs in your physical and emotional health using cutting-edge technologies. Along with our inspirational and healing touch, we customize wellness packages to optimize your quality of life so that you can live your best life without pain. You are welcome to contact Dr. Iris by going to her website, www.driris.com. Looking forward to sharing this powerful second part of our show today.
My name is Dr. Iris Rosenfeld, and I'd like to welcome all of you back to the second part of our show today, Attitude Adjustment. We are here today with Dr. Barbara and Dr. Michael Grossman and having a very thought-provoking program today. And so we've been talking about the power struggle of relationships. We've been talking about the relationship that the three different marriages to the same person that Dr. Barbara and Dr. Michael have had and sharing from their heart. So I guess I have another question for you. You have both put your energies together to write a book that is about to be released pretty soon. And the name of the book is called Marriage as a Hero's Journey. Can you share with our listeners how you two decided to write this book, how this all came to fruition?
Barbara and I have been leading classes on marriage for 20 years. So we've had more than 1,000 couples come through our program. And we wanted to share this knowledge and this practical information with a bigger audience. And so it was a desire to write the book and to put down all the various knowledge pieces that come through our four-week course that we teach.
We also wanted to add the backstory to our class, and we wanted to add material that we don't often get a chance to share in the class, and which includes our own personal journey and our and references to classical myths, which we believe provide a map for men's development and women's development. We believe we're talking about something that is not just popular psychology now, but it's the knowledge and wisdom of the ages.
Can you go into a little bit more detail about the myths?
So the myths for a woman is epitomized by the story of Eros and Psyche, and the myth of the man is epitomized by the myth of Percival, one of the knights in King Arthur's court. So the Psyche and Eros myth, Psyche is a female goddess who gives up her role as being a goddess and wants to come down to earth to be a regular human being. And she goes through all this whole process of trying to find a husband, and she can't. And it ends up that she marries Eros, who's also known as Cupid, the god of love, when Eros accidentally pricks his own hand with his arrow and falls in love with Psyche. And they get married, but Psyche has to agree never to look at Eros in the light, only can see him in the complete darkness, so she never sees his face.
How many of us ladies marry a man who doesn't allow us to know him intimately? Isn't that every woman's story? That initially we marry a man who we connect to deeply on an intuitive level, but we don't really know him intimately. We desire that, but it doesn't come immediately.
And then Psyche goes on this long journey, which I won't go into the whole story, but she has to learn to develop her own individuality, her own ability to deal with life, to deal with problems, to deal with life circumstances, and the way that she becomes a hugely powerful personality. And that's the story of woman, that they gradually learn that.
And remarkably, her story has the steps I believe every woman needs to take in order to grow herself. It's like a cookbook. How to grow boundaries, how to respect yourself, there's just every detail of her development matches the story of female development in our society today.
How to deal with men's anger, how to be able to act in the world with speaking what needs to be spoken to and not what needs to be spoken to. So they have to learn lots of things. So it's a great journey that women go on. Now, men have a different journey in general. The Percival myth for men involves Percival, who's the greatest knight in the world. He starts out being an energetic young kid who doesn't know anything, and then he gets trained to be the perfect knight. He learns to do the right thing, and he becomes the greatest knight in the world. And then when he's invited into this Grail castle, the castle of the Holy Grail, and the king is ailing and is in pain, and everything in the whole kingdom can be healed, and Percival just asks from his heart, "What ails thee, O king?" But he doesn't ask that because he's been taught that knights don't ask questions unless someone asks them first. So the social convention keeps him from intimately connecting with people, and that blocks his ability to move through the journey. And then he leaves the castle, and he's broken, and he's sad, and he's upset, and he's frustrated because he realizes he failed in his quest to go to the Holy Grail. And he goes through many adventures until he learns to come from his heart and to feel his feelings and to be intimate with other people. And eventually he learns that and does get back to the Holy Grail. So that's the man's story.
So the story of Percival is the story of a man who grows in competence and then learns compassion. And the woman's story is a woman who connects and then learns to grow in self-esteem and self-assertion.
This is absolutely beautiful what you guys are saying. I do have a question that seems to pop up, however, where what is the percentage? Is it 1 out of 2, 1 out of 3 marriages end up in divorce?
About 1 out of 2.
It's 1 out of 2. Okay. So in your professional opinion, how can we avoid that?
Well, we need to understand what the opportunity of marriage is. We need to learn the concepts and skills in order to walk that journey and grow ourselves and develop our marriages so that it fulfills the promise of marriage. Most of us don't get even a fraction into the journey. We get frustrated, and we lose hope, and we get into negative cycles, and it's dispiriting, and people give up. The key is to really understand what the possibility of marriage is and have the skills to deliver on that possibility.
Now, the skills are skills that we teach in our class and in our book. And our class, we're going to have a class in the next week. We're going to do a class. We do it about 3 times a year. And the class will teach skills where you learn to make requests. Requests are very important. Complaining is not very helpful, but requests are very important. How to make requests effectively is a skill.
Can I segue here? I have a strong point of view about coaching women in this age of equality. For women to, while we're both equal partners, I like men to, I like women to be whoever they want to be in their working life, and I coach women to be feminine in their relationships, because I think the chemistry of masculine and feminine is important in marriages. And so we coach women to make requests, not demands. We coach both men and women to make requests, not complaints. And we teach couples how to do that. We teach how to generate positive energy in marriages. People don't know how to be intentional in how they create their energy and how they create love in their relationships. That's one class.
This sounds wonderful. And so, you know, my show is called Attitude Adjustment. I would love for you to share two things in your professional opinion could shift people's attitudes.
So we also in our class talk about how to connect in a very, very short period of time, because couples need to have close conversations, intimate conversations. We also teach couples how to deal with anger and stop it, because it's destructive. And we also teach couples how to understand each other's wounds from childhood so that they don't step on the wounds, but rather support their partners in healing them. We won't do that today either, but what we will do is...
So for the attitude adjustments, I would say one thing would be to entertain the idea that you're never upset for the reason you think. So whenever you're getting upset, there's a lot more going on than just the event that's happening. And you want to get in touch with those earlier events that this now event triggered an emotion, but it only triggered something that happened in the past that is reminding you of that. And so take time when you're upset to look at how it feels, how old you feel, and to be able to share with your partner when time is available. You make a little appointment. You want to let them hear about how it triggered some old stuff for you. So that is a very important thing.
And then it's important to remember that anger is always the second feeling. There is a vulnerable feeling that's first. It happens very quickly, so people often don't notice it, but I ask you to look. Anger is the shield we use to protect ourselves from the vulnerable feeling. So when you feel anger at your partner, I want you to look for the hurt or the feeling of helplessness or the feeling of sadness or loss that's underneath it, and share the vulnerable feeling, because that's the feeling that will really your partner can hear better.
And this is very interesting, because it sounds like from what you're giving us, never be upset for the reason you think, and anger is always the second feeling.
Yes, you are never upset for the reason you think.
That's right. And this is something that is applicable, I'm sure, for not only marriages, but also for single people that are in relationship.
Absolutely.
Which is, that is fantastic. So you mentioned your workshop. Would you share how people can contact the both of you for workshops? I'm assuming you do individual therapy to find out about your book. Loaded question here, but I'd love for you to share with our listeners how they could find you and contact you and ask you both questions.
you can call 949-230-1429. 949-230-1429. That's a phone number. You can also go to our website, ocwellness.com. So
great.
Those would be the two ways.
And your workshops, when the, you said you mentioned something that you're starting a workshop.
We are having a workshop starting this Sunday, September 28th at 6 o'clock. If they call, we can still fit people in the workshop. And we do workshops three times a year. So if you miss this one, you can come to the next one.
That sounds great. And when? Do you have any idea when your book is going to be available?
Well, I'm told it takes about 4 to 5 months for them to have to go through the process. We have 4 or 5 more months.
Wow. Okay, so we'll have you back on the show when your book is released. Does that sound wonderful?
That sounds great.
Good, good. So we are about to end the show. I would love for you, in under a minute, give us your final words of wisdom.
Marriage is a journey that will create enormous growth and love and joy, but you need to go through a process of truly finding your own inner self, getting in touch with your own emotions, and developing the ability to share intimately with your spouse. And you will heal all your childhood wounds through this process. But you've got to be patient because it is a process.
And Barbara, any last words?
Yes, it's the project involves individual growth and couple growth, and it's the fulfillment of, I think, our destiny as human beings, the promise of our development, and it fulfills the promise of our civilization to be, you know, good partners to each other and good parents to our children and good children to our parents. It's a beautiful promise to keep for those we love.
Thank you both so much for being on our show. It has been a pleasure to have Dr. Barbara and Dr. Michael Grossman with us today. You can reach them by going to their website, www.ocwellness.com. Please join us on the second and fourth Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time and 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where you will continue to gain insights and inspiration from each of my guests. You are guaranteed to leave with two ways you can adjust your attitude. We look forward to our next show on Tuesday, October 14th, with Dr. Mishi, specializing in science-based whole-body approach to health and healing. For further information, contact me, Dr. Iris Rosenfeld. My email is driris@driris.com. My website, www.driris.com. And I love to leave my radio show with a special quote. So here it goes. It's what we learn after we think we know it all that counts. Wishing you all a beautiful, healthful day.
Soon as it shows, it'd make him cannonballing down through the sky, gleaming its eye, bright as a rose. Who knows? It's only just out of reach, down the block on a beach, under a tree. I got a feeling there's a miracle due, gonna come true, coming to me.